Welcome back in, everybody, and happy Thursday. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you on 101.3 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at ScottBrower_13, at Steen on Sports, at 1700 The Champ, and at HappyHour_SS. You can also check us out on Facebook and website. All of the podcasts are up.
Yeah, you just go to 1700thechamp.com and hit play.
Hit play.
And stream it.
And you can stream the show as well. You are correct, sir. We have Thursday night football, the first NFL football game of the year. Yes, it's preseason. Trust me, two things are happening. A whole bunch of men are watching it, drinking beer, and betting.
Come on. I know we've discussed wagering a lot in the last God knows
how
long.
Betting.
But no one in their right mind is wagering on this. Is like
if they weren't wagering, there wouldn't be point spreads on it. So they're definitely wagering. The Twins are come back in Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They play the Diamondbacks. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they played the Tigers. They beat the Cardinals last night, so they took two games from the Cardinals.
Look, Minya, are you wagering on the game tonight?
Oh, my God, no.
Thank you.
I'm not coming back on the radio on Monday saying I lost money on a preseason game. No.
All right.
No. Let's see. What else do we have? Tim McGraw is he's coming with Carly Pierce. I looked up Carly Pierce. I like Carly Pierce.
Yes, her music is good.
Yes, very much so. They're coming March 21st, and you'll listen to spots during the show. I do believe that we have
tickets that are out there. Tim McGraw awareness coming out right now.
So I've seen Tim McGraw, but it was a long time ago. But I don't think it changes
much. Did you see
him
over at Iowa Speedway?
No, I was down at...
Oh, you were
I
at
went to the lake,
Sun Valley, yeah.
Pushing COVID through the lake. And then going back to Newton Speedway and pushing COVID through there.
Okay.
So
right,
with another 100,000 people.
Good time for you. Good time.
Yeah, it was awesome. The next Sunday is the Chiefs' first preseason game. And... So I think I hit all those.
Right.
As always, we want to thank Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, and Heritage Building Maintenance for being a part of the show.
So the Hall of Fame game is broadcast here.
Here. Yeah.
What time?
Right after.
Does the pregame start right after us?
6:30 pregame. So you get a half hour of Zach Gill.
Zach Gill. Okay, cool.
So that's kind of where we're at. So everything that we have. Oh, B-Style's coming in today. Last thing I did today was I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. So I texted him. I didn't text him. I messaged him on X.
No, you said still Twitter.
Text.
It's still Twitter.
Yeah, but I get to do X.
Because it's X because it's extreme.
Yes. And he's going to be in at 5:21 today. So we can go over some stuff with him.
Insights. Wonderful.
Yeah. So as always, when you're in here. Mm-hmm. I give you first dibbies on first conversations.
We can go to, I guess, the tip of everybody's tongue right now. Obviously, is the how Oregon, Arizona, and Arizona State seem to be tied together. And this is the way how I say that. We're teetering on what is Oregon going to do. If they go, then Arizona and Arizona State say, okay, we're going to. If there's a shred of, I mean, the people are still going, oh, you know what? Maybe this Pac-12 deal isn't bad. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. It's and if you don't think it's bad and you want to go, well, what does a bad TV contract look like in 7 years or 5 years? You know, we'll get another chance and maybe things change.
Right.
Ask the ACC what having a contract through 2037 feels like when you have no power.
Right.
And I was trying to – here's the thing. I'm not buying in as much on all these people that are saying Arizona and Arizona State are tied to Oregon. I think Washington is tied to Oregon.
Well, no, I'm not saying far as a destination.
Right.
It's what they do will either slow down or rudder up what Arizona State do. I think they're trying to figure out the whole Oregon, Washington to go to the Big Ten together type of thing. And then, okay, if those two go, then yeah, we'll go this way.
See, my thought is if I'm Arizona and Arizona State, I want something new. They have not competed. They have not been good. And if they look on the bright side, they're looking at football. If you look on the bright side, you bring Arizona and Arizona State into the Big 12 right. in basketball. That's yes. a huge deal.
It's massive.
So, and my last thing, besides Oregon having Nike money, what the hell has Oregon done in the last 5 years?
I know.
Absolutely nothing.
Right.
I mean, that's the Big Ten will take them because they have excess money.
Well, right, and it also gives you Oregon. They are a draw. They're another market draw. It's another right. another time frame draw. I mean, all these, time zone, excuse me. But no,
some of the sticking point too is there's a lot of Big 12 teams that don't want anything to do with Utah, and I don't think and I'm going to put it out there. Everybody already knows this. I'm a Big 12 guy. I'm an Iowa State guy. I'm tired of people saying the Big 12's trying to ruin college football. If the Pac-12 would have been smart, they would have ruined college football 4 years ago.
Big 12's trying to ruin. Okay.
When Texas and Oklahoma said they were leaving.
Yeah.
The Big 12 reached out to the Pac-12
and said, if we put our forces together, and
we may be able to compete with these two.
Right. They poo-pooed it, looked down their nose, and said, oh, we don't need
we're
you.
We're fine. And then 6 months later, USC right. and UCLA go, guys, we forgot to tell you
and
back then.
Where did USC and UCLA go?
The Big 10.
Oh, not the Big 12. Gee, darn it. And we're the ones ruining football.
Yeah.
Or, excuse me, the Big 12 is. Shouldn't say
yes.
that.
So here's the part that I don't believe in. I don't believe anything that Fox and ESPN is saying about any of this because this is behooving them. Even though they have, and I don't understand this, they have a really good deal with the Big 12. I don't know why they don't have people on their radio station that will talk about the Big 12. I heard everybody today being talked about, the ACC, the Big Ten, mm-hmm. the Pac-12, the SEC, and not the part of the $31.5 million is coming from ESPN. I don't understand. It just come out and say, hey, you know what? We like having all these games on TV, but we're an SEC network. I'd be cool with that. Yeah. Don't lie to people and say, oh, we don't have favorites. Yes, you do.
There's no cheering in the
and I don't even know why
score box.
And the crazy thing is, they paid the Big Ten made more money off of TV deals than the SEC. I don't know why the SEC gets raised above the Big Ten. The Big Ten's the one that got all the money. They got almost $1 billion, and the SEC got like 800 and some.
Right.
So it's driving me crazy. And with the ACC, who signs a piece of paper to have a contract through 2037? By 2037, we should be watching stuff in space, not here. And it won't even be me, but I don't care.
I was gonna say, it'll be flag football by then anyway.
What are you thinking? Yeah. Well, it was a really good deal, but it didn't go up right. at any point in time. Who does that?
That deal is still based off of VHS sales.
Everything goes up. not just a little bit. Everything goes up. Listen, the Big 12's grabbing another team. I don't know if they go, you know what, Utah, nobody's looking out for you. No one said one word about you. I don't know. I think it's kind of hilarious that Arizona and Arizona State, if you're listening to some of the, I mean, it's 50-50. Some people are saying Arizona and Arizona State are waiting for Oregon to see what Oregon wants to do.
That's what I've heard.
Why
about
in
today.
The world that Arizona and Arizona State would be trusting Oregon to do anything is beyond that.
Yeah, because Oregon has their best interest
in. And it'd be the same people that went, well, Arizona, we know the reason that we're okay is because, you know, USC and UCLA, we're still here. And it took them, like I said, took them 6 months and they left mm-hmm. right after. So I would go where the money's there. And if you look, and one of the reasons why it's hard, this was the funny one that I saw today. Even if Oregon and Washington went to the Big Ten, they don't get the same amount of money that the original Big Ten people do. Rutgers and who's the other one? There were two of them that still haven't got full
No.
Full pay yet. And Oregon and Washington won't get full pay. Colorado's coming in. They're getting full pay. If the other three teams want to come in, they're getting full TV revenue. Everybody else, everybody in that Big 12 is getting the same amount of money. Not everybody gets the same amount of money in the Big 10, and not everybody gets the same amount of money in the SEC.
Right, and that's the confusing part to look at it. But it's in essence, from my understanding, what I tried to read up on this, with the Big 10, if a team were to come in, it's a prorated amount from the initial. So you don't, if let's say you have a contract that is this long, and I'm using visuals on the radio. Good job, Scott. But okay, you have
14 inches.
You have a 7-year contract for X amount of dollars.
Right.
You come in and there's only 5 years left, you get the prorated 5. You don't get the full boat amount of the 7 years.
And the other teams coming in the Big 12, they're giving him full $31.5 million the minute Colorado, as soon as they come in next year. Their payment from that TV contract is $31.5 million.
And it's not that it's changing, that we were taking the same size pie and making smaller wedges. It's if you bring in a Power 5 school to this, we will give them what we gave you.
Right. They gave them 4 spots.
Right.
And said, you can do with these 4 spots what you will.
It was negotiated.
As long as it's coming from a Power 5 conference.
Right.
And that was the only thing that was there. And I'm telling you right now, the Big 12 didn't. And to even take this back even further, the Big 12 did not reach out to Arizona and Arizona State. Arizona and Arizona State reached out to the Big 12.
Right.
They reached out to Colorado because there was mutual interest and they wanted to get Colorado back in the Big 12.
Right.
Arizona and Arizona State aren't this great thing for the Big 12 to grab.
But think about it. We just had the movement out of Colorado of, you know what, this is smarter for us to do.
Yeah.
Not sure what the future, we haven't even got us a TV, all these different things. And they're like, yep, I'm going to go. Oh, by the way, here's my check. And now they're going, oh,
they got a check.
Hey, if this crumbles around us, we're screwed. Right.
And if you walk into a meeting with Gil Koff, or however you say his name, the Pac-12 commissioner,
right?
And he comes out, and it's $20 million a year, and I'm like, you know what, $20 million a year is quite a bit, but the people that you could have gotten if you'd have played your cards right, they're getting 31.5. That's $11.5 million. For the next 7 years, that you're not getting. That's $77 million.
But, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought that $20 million, quote unquote, the Pac-12 deal.
Depends on
it's not a guarantee. Right. And you can, I will not do my budget on, hey, you should do this. Right. If things go right, it could be this. No, you don't. You go conservative of, you know what? 10% of what we did last year, you know, I mean, that just baffles me that you could even think about shoulda, coulda, woulda with this kind of budget.
We both have, I mean, I have Apple TV. I have Apple Plus. You have Apple Plus. Do you still have Apple Plus or whatever?
I think I canceled it. I got it for the Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell Christmas movie, and I forgot to cancel it. I think, I don't know.
I'm joking, hon.
I canceled it.
I have Apple Plus because I like Ted Lasso. I like some of the shows that are on there.
Right.
But the really funny thing is, do you really think Apple TV is like a core thing that it can't go away in 2 years?
Right.
I mean, I get Apple has a ton of money, but the way they move in their streams, like just like
right,
now we're
exactly.
X and we're not me doing X while I'm
yeah,
on radio.
But I mean, that's cool also the way Twitter can take a sidestep and go, where did that come from? Apple's direction and money going, is AI going to take off to the extent where they're like, I don't care about football. I'm going to go down this path.
You have this came out just to give everybody some other things to look at when you're looking at the money and ESPN. ESPN is Disney. It had to have been Disney bought ESPN.
Yes.
Disney just had their fourth movie in a row that came out that didn't make enough money to cover the cost of the movie.
Right.
This one was it Hotel Transylvania or something? Right. The last one, Haunted House. I think that's what it's
Haunted
called.
Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion. And the ones before. There's a point in time where Disney's going to go, wow, I don't have enough money to cover all this stuff.
Right. Well, and the Disney deal was when Disney went out and bought ESPN. No, it was ESPN. It was they bought ABC and ESPN.
Right.
So it was part of that. But I mean, yeah, they've bought Marvel, they've bought Star Wars, they've got a lot of things that have made money, but the heart and soul of Disney was you came out with an animated Little Mermaid, and then you sold the merchandise and you built it up in this, and then you made a commercial for the next one for next year, what was coming out, and the cycle just, and they just were generating money.
Oh yeah. And then you have to be careful what you say. You have to be careful about what you put out.
You have to be careful that you don't insinuate that you're bigger than the state that you're in.
Exactly. And we've said that on this show a lot, that what you say in public, what we say on the radio, what is said on TV,
right,
in the world that we live in now, it's not easy. You're going to have somebody that doesn't like what you say.
Right.
And I don't see a lot of them going, well, I'm going to sit down and do the math, and I'm going to try to figure out what I can say to not get me in trouble. One thing that you and I agreed upon when we started doing this, we'll say what we believe, and we'll say, and we'll fight for what we believe
within FCC regulations.
Exactly. But I'm not doing something on radio to try to get people to like radio. It's just not the way I work.
I think everyone that does, and I appreciate everyone that does listen, knows that this is not a scripted show.
It is definitely not a scripted show. As we could tell that we got...
organic entertainment.
It's what it is. So, and we got through the first segment, and I couldn't tell you what we talked
about.
So that's a good thing.
We talked a little bit of everything. That's what we do.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. There's plenty more to talk about. What a crazy couple of days. We'll be right back. Good day, everybody. Hope everybody had a great day. Drive safely home. You're listening to Steen on Sports. You're listening to us on... we're not Steen on Sports. It's Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Thinking this is Friday, but it is our Friday. It's just Thursday. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans. Twitter, at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Hall of Fame game tonight between the Jets and the Browns. Looking forward to listening to that tonight. I don't think that you'll see a whole bunch of people that you recognize, but at least it's football. We're close. We're getting there.
This is always
less than a month.
This is always a rough one to watch. It's because it's real NFL. It's not reruns. I mean, it's a first time play game or whatever. But the Hall of Fame game is a little bit of a rough pregame to watch.
Oh yeah.
You got to believe they're gonna at least suit everybody. You're not gonna have Aaron Rodgers standing there in an iced tea t-shirt on the side. He's going to be suited up, right?
Mm.
Or he's just going to be in Jets apparel with a headset on.
Hawaska shirt.
Hawaska shirt. So, I don't know. Hopefully we see a few things. I said we won't see more than two series of Lazard if he's even out there.
Yep.
But it's interesting. I do love seeing, you can tell the guys that are just those wild eyes going, this is my last shot. I got to impress, you know,
yep.
And they'll overdo it.
And you're going to see, so what you are going to see, you're going to see Zach Wilson and you're going to see Kelly Mon trying to make football teams and show that they belong in the NFL, which would be pretty cool.
Yep.
You have the first read.
I do, and it's Northwest Bank, as always. Commitments you can bank on. Taking care of your personal, business, agricultural, private banking, wealth management, insurance needs every day your way. Locations in West Des Moines, two in Ankeny, one in Ames, three locations in Omaha, and many across the northwest side of the state. Check out Northwest Bank's mobile app for ease of doing banking whenever your phone is in your hand. Go to nw.bank to take advantage of applying to online to various types of loans, from vehicle loans to mortgages. It all starts here. On the website, you can visit the newsroom for all things Northwest Bank. You can view the Biz Buzz blog for their business insights and simply use the multiple banking tools to enhance your banking experience. All this at nw.bank. Once again, don't wait. Open an account with Northwest Bank. Remember what you can bank on. Member FDIC.
Biz Buzz Bank.
Biz Boom. Buzz Bank.
Bang. Okay, I'm going to lead us into this one.
All right, fire away.
So, thought it was really interesting today that the lawyer for Iwuma Wazirki, who played for Iowa State.
Former Iowa State. Now
in the NFL.
Now he's for the Denver Broncos.
Yep. They're his defense attorney is stating
right.
that the state of Iowa and the DCI used geofence to distinguish between what they were looking for in activity between people who are athletes and people who are not athletes.
They were pinging phones to find out who they yep. were following.
And guess what? In this country, you can't do that. You can't do that.
You have to prosecute evenly.
Yeah, you can't do that. Now, somebody, a lawyer can call in and say, but the people that I've been listening to today said, if that is true, that totally changes a lot of this. And it also changes
right.
why isn't there other people from other states that haven't been getting hit as hard as it seemed like in a smaller state like Iowa?
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Because of what Randy said to us yesterday, and Randy's opinion on all this was he came in. What a great time for him to come in because he is the anti-gambling degenerates, and we are not.
I wouldn't say anti. He just has a strong opinion as a father figure to us all.
Scotty, that's a no-no. You can't, even though, hey, you know what? If you're a student athlete, you can't be betting. You can't go directly at them and try to prove that they're doing it
right.
by using something that you're not using on everybody. And they weren't using it on everybody. They were using it to ping and find out the athlete's phones.
Right.
If I read all this correctly. Not that that's going to stop it. Not that it's going to stop the punishment that's coming. Because, listen, even these young men, they got caught doing this, and it was said by the coaching staff, if you do this, you are no longer on the football team. But it saves them maybe from doing jail time or having to pay restitution or something
you have to get to the point where minors wagering is not jail time. It's the ones that where they're going after Hunter Deckers is because of the manipulation of the evidence.
Right.
Okay. So that's the one that he could get serious criminal charges because of the process. The kid from the linebacker now plays for the Broncos from Iowa State. Anyway, he was suspended anyway. From even this year for wagering. He's got a problem different than just he was right. part of the guys that were wagering Iowa State. Sounds like he's got a little bit of gambling
and he's
problem.
Gambling on his own team, which is going to be the end all of him. Now, the other one that is the other one that needs explaining to me is the Iowa State wrestler that gambled $45,000. Where did he get $45,000?
We talked about this. He didn't have to have $45,000. You can start with $1,000.
Right.
You bet $1,000 and you win and you have $2,800. Now you bet another $2,000.
And how many people do that?
A lot, actually.
That win like that. So just you and I are the degenerates that don't do that.
I'm sorry. I thought you've been to Vegas before. They don't make toilets of gold because people win a buck here and there. Tuesday, Wednesday, you can seem to I'm the best gambler ever. I'm gonna work my way up to about $2,500 off of $250, and then things change from slot machines and table odds. It seems like Thursday and Friday when you get a different crowd and you get to give all that money back plus even more of your own money.
You know the really funny thing, and it's not talked about enough, and it should be, for people that have this hatred of gambling, and think that gambling is only what rich people do. The number one money maker for every casino in the world.
Slot machines.
And guess what slot machine?
Penny slots.
That's right.
Exactly.
They make more money off of those because they don't pay out anything. And people go, well, at least I only spent $20, not $200. It's the number one revenue generator for all these casinos. And it's not even close. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
But if with progressive penny slots, if you know that 20, if you bet all five lines, you could win 100. So yeah.
100 pennies.
Yeah.
I think all of that is is pretty interesting.
Well, I just...
But that's going to throw a wrinkle in if they were out there.
No, if they were profiling.
If they were profiling.
Okay, because, yes, we have not seen. Is there a list of college students in the College of Design, Art Design, that there
who been gambling?
Yeah, you know, 10 of them that were underage gambling and all these different things. They're not making the headlines.
Nope.
It's the fact that they can take away Hunter Deckers, you know, that makes the headlines.
Yeah. And I'm perfectly fine, right, with the people, you know, those kids knew. If it would have been left up to Matt Campbell, they probably wouldn't have been off the team a while ago.
Right.
Because they broke team rules. They knew they weren't supposed to be doing that. Period. No. You guys, listen, they're going to be watching you. You're going to do – I get it. I understand the smirk on your face. But
– Then what? Campbell's going to be out there with two other guys kicking the ball around? I mean, I'm not being tongue-in-cheek.
I'm just saying, we told you not to do sports betting, so don't come to me and say it's not fair that they were just picking on me. No, we told you as an athletic person, at an Iowa State athletic person on scholarship, right. You can't do
You know there's
this.
More names coming down the pipe, too, though.
Has to be. Has to be across the – if it's not –
I'm talking the Iowa State football team. Well, there's more names coming down.
Well, I would assume. I would assume there'll be more names coming down from Iowa's football team. It can't just be one or two.
I don't know.
Kirk
was very surprised that there was even one.
Kirk's been surprised about a lot of things, which is okay. I mean, if that's the way I want to coach, I'm not going to go, yep, I knew I was going to have 10. Well, then why didn't you stop it? Well, I would say, I'm thinking.
There's a lot of negotiating of, my opinion of how the world works, there's a lot of negotiating going on behind the scenes right now of, yes, I will admit to this. If you don't take away that, blah, 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 let's get this taken care of. And
give me a couple of games.
Plead this out and
I'll be
on.
Happy.
Right. Well, a couple of games. Well, that means you're handling it internally. We haven't even got the NCAA involved yet, have we?
No. And trust me, the NCAA doesn't want to touch that.
Okay.
They're already hated enough. And can't even they can't control anything.
Here, put this inside your Yahtzee thing and shake it up here. With this happening, and there was athletes betting on college games, you know, whether it was the under and stuff like that, do we get to the point? I mean, we just got prop bets on college games.
Yeah.
Right? Are they going to is legislation going to jump in and strip this all the way back down again to you can only bet on wins and losses on college football?
No. It's already out of the bag. Can't put it back in. You can't.
Somebody's gonna try to.
Well, they are. And you know, we actually live in a state that they might try to do that. I don't think it'll pass. You finally got to a point. Here's the reason why I don't think so.
Okay.
The
I'm just making conversation. I'm not saying the way that I think.
Guess who's putting a lot of money in all those state legislators' pockets? Casinos.
Yeah.
They're getting gambling money as much. You know, it's like Randy said. You know, it used to be you could take the high ground, but when you are putting casinos in sports stadiums, right. You've lost it. Pete Rose is, like he said, Pete Rose is going, what the hell?
Right, I know.
But and he got to spend, he put the first
yeah, he
dollar
put the first
in.
Bent down, yeah.
I think that's hilarious.
I mean, there is a justification sometimes. I mean, think about how much money Prairie Meadows gives back to the schools.
No, it's to different organizations
right.
around. It's amazing.
That's.
I mean, a lot of new gymnasiums, new classrooms, right. New computers all come from Prairie Meadows.
Well, and this is even a step outside of that. But think about the billion-dollar ticket holder.
Yeah.
That there was $1.06 billion, whatever. What was it, 67% was going in taxes?
Yeah.
I mean,
they got $443 million out of $1.5
million. So welcome to the tax game lottery. But people are like, well, I got this, but look how much the government got. So, I mean.
They got a ton.
Anyway, yes.
And the government doesn't get anybody when nobody's winning it. And when it gets to $1 billion, they're like, okay, somebody needs to win this right now.
Exactly.
We need that money.
It is it's frustrating. We don't know who's wagging the dog, per se, when of this process. We can throw morality at it, what is right, what is wrong. But it's funny how money can change the outcome.
We got one. I got. I have 3 minutes. Okay. Another interesting one that came out today.
Far away.
The NBA Players Association today called out the Orlando Magic ownership group for donating to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' Super PAC. And here's why I raise this as an athletic thing. What have we said here in the past 6 months? If you're an athlete, an actor, a politician, or anybody that's on TV or projects out that some of your money comes from you being out there, you can't take a side in stuff. Yes. The minute the NBA Players Association took this side right here, they just lost half the people in the country.
It's when you if you rely on being an entertainer,
you cannot,
or a public figure,
you can't take a side. Right. And I don't care which side you take, you can't take a side, because it's really, here's a really funny thing. How long we've been friends for 15 years. At any point in time, have we ever in even our group got into a political fight? Do you ever remember
not
any?
Not a fight. You accused me of something once, and we're not going to go there because we don't get into politics.
We don't.
Here. But you were wrong.
Yes.
Okay, but yes, I saw this. The actual title on the team, Orlando Magic's political donation is alarming, in air quotes. Players Union says the team donated $50,000 to a super PAC supportive of Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. The union says that does not mean Magic players support him. So that is hard. That is hard to take money from an organization that represents many. And
right. And I guarantee you that if they went back out and looked at that super PAC from the Orlando Magic, they donated $50,000 to a Democratic candidate too, because
I wasn't going there.
They want everybody's money to come to the Orlando Magic. I just think it's funny that gets a headline. And on the exact opposite side of that, you have Disney doing the same thing and what they're doing and putting out there and saying, and it's making people angry on that 50% of the people in the country.
Right.
And they're like, well, if you guys are going to do that and you're going to go on TV and you're going to talk about stuff like that, we're not going to come to your place anymore. And they depend on people coming to Disneyland and Disney World all those things.
Yes. We've seen that happening quite a bit.
I hate that it gets to sports. I thought that was the one bastion of, okay, we're not going to do that. But oh my gosh, I was wrong. Really wrong. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We'll be back. We got Potpourri coming up and then the start of the next hour. Hey, you're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. As always, you can check us out on Twitter at ScottBrower_13, at HappyHour_SS, at Steen on Sports, and at 1700, The Champ. Tonight is the NFL Hall of Fame game, the Jets and the Browns. Enjoy that. It comes on at 6:30 tonight. It's the pregame, and then they'll go into the game at 7. This segment will be brought to you by Woodman Controls. Woodman Controls Company is Iowa's intelligent building solution company, provides, designs, engineers, installs, programs, and services, HVAC, lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security. Go to woodmancontrols.com and find out more about an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company.
So Michael Jordan is no longer the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets.
He's no longer anything with the Charlotte Hornets.
He is still a minority owner.
Yeah, very, very small minority. Got paid a lot of money.
How much did he buy it for?
Like $300
million. $275 million. How much was the sell worth?
Between 1.3 and 1.6?
$3
billion. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, that's not bad money. He just became one of those, one of those guys. He's like David Beckham and him. And who were amazing athletes then turned amazing athletics into,
right,
hey, here's a really cool
a
thing.
Brand and now a
get,
business.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get into sports, you know,
ownership.
Sports ownership.
Yeah.
And that I've always said that, and this has always been my final argument that I have with my boys when we talk Michael Jordan and LeBron James. And once again, I think LeBron James is amazing and all the stuff he does is incredible. When you have other people wearing your gear while you're playing,
yes,
it's pretty
yes.
cool. I mean, Tiger doesn't play that much anymore, but every time Scottie Scheffler moves his feet and hits a golf ball, you look at the bottom and it's Tiger's shoes right. that he's wearing. So, I mean, that's when you know you've made it, when you're participating in a sport and there are teams that are wearing your logo, your own logo, instead of just Nike logo.
Well, and even with this, I mean, the Tom Brady, where he's buying into a English soccer team, if you will. I mean, these guys understand that it's not just New England money, Tampa Bay money, American money, it's world money.
I love that you mentioned that. So I saw a Tom Brady thing today, and it was his 46th birthday
yep,
today.
Yep.
7 Super Bowl rings, and you're like, oh, man, that is a ton. But this little part in here blew my mind. And even though I knew this, when you start reading it is when it really starts to hit home on everything that he did. And now I tell you that, and I'm struggling
Which,
to find
what
it.
Is, but, what is his stats of how long he was in or monetarily
just
what?
Everything that he had done, and it was, oh, I have it right here. So he is a 7-time Super Bowl winner, a 5-time Super Bowl MVP, 3-time NFL Most Valuable Player, 2-time NFL Offensive Player of the Year, NFL Player Comeback of the Year, 3-time First Team All-Pro, 3-time Second Team All-Pro, 15-time Pro Bowler, 5-time NFL Passing Touchdown Leader, 4-time NFL Passing Yards Leader, 2-time NFL Passing Rater Leader. He is the NFL completion percentage leader. He is part of the 2000 decade team, the 2010 decade team, the NFL 100 anniversary team, the New England Patriots, all of those, their dynasty team, 2-time Sports Illustrated Man of the Year, AP Male of the Year, and Burt Bell Award winner. And he was a football player from Michigan who looked like me. 6 months ago.
He looked like Shrek when Shrek turned into a man.
Yes.
And
he's doing the same thing. He has bought minority stakes in a bunch right. of these things. And people go, well, what's minority stake worth? Well, ask Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson has a lot of minority stakes, and he's worth like $8 billion.
Mm-hmm.
It matters that you get
you know, something that is purchased at $200 million and within 7 years you sell it for multiple billions, I don't care if I've got 3%, I'm going to be a happy little guess.
And that is the crazy thing, right?
Right.
Is that wasn't even, well, I'm not going to say that it wasn't a majority stake of the Hornets, but it wasn't like 100%. I mean, he wasn't the only person that, you know, he just sold his stake of it, and it wasn't over 50%, and he still got that kind of money.
Right.
That is the
well, not to know crazy. Not to know the whole deal, but the way it reads, because he bought it for $275 million when it was the Bobcats.
Yep.
Right? Because if I read this correctly, Jordan purchased the franchise in 2010, and that's why it says Jordan purchased the franchise in 2010 back when it was still known as the Charlotte Bobcats for the price of $275 million. He had been the league's lone black majority owner for the best former player ever to blah, blah, blah. Okay,
maintain. See, that was his thing, black majority owner.
Jordan will maintain a minority ownership stake after the completion of the sale. So the sale was $3 billion. Mm-hmm. It's not that he got $3 billion.
He got his stake.
His stake, which we don't. Right, correct.
I know it's over 50, but it's not a lot over. But that's still, means $1 billion.
Right, right. But yes, it was, the team was sold for a valuation of approximately $3 billion, according to sources. But no, it's one of the things the new group said, we actually are going to get back to the playoffs. So they are, you know, going to put something into the team. But, that's
big
bucks.
It is big.
But I mean, let me look at what they would Washington Commanders. I always want to call them the other name, but I can't. But I mean the amount that that cell went through from what he made on it to what
which is ridiculous. It's the same for type that guy because hopefully somebody comes and takes that all away from him from what he's done. The really funny thing about that you just said Commanders and you got to get used to doing it. There is a huge groundswell to change it back to the Redskins.
Yeah, the petition is going
it's
on.
A lot of people, like 300,000 people.
They only needed to get to 50 to make it a public vote or something like that. But yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of people. And Magic Johnson and the ownership group said, we'll do what the people want. They haven't had their say in a while.
Okay. And just not being the devil's advocate on this one, but I mean, what does the local indigenous people say in regards to that terminology?
You know what? I don't even think it was ever that they were saying anything. I think it was the fact that he was saying the words and they hated him, Daniel Snyder.
Okay.
I don't think it was because all the glory days, the minute that changed, that all the glory days went away. Right. Nobody talked about the glory days. Right. Nobody did any of that.
Yep.
I read this today and I felt sorry for this young man. And he's the head coach of Washington State. His name is Jake Dickert. And he came out today, Washington State, who is your buddies.
I know. I was trying to text him to get one of them on.
Our Cougar fans, right?
Cougs. Yes.
Cougs. He said, the old question was, how long would it take TV money to destroy college football? Maybe we're here. With some powerful words on the state of the Pac-12, with more schools rumored to be departing, his comments were, don't we all have enough integrity just to leave things the way they are? No. And that's the, you know, and I felt bad for him because I get what he's saying, because he's like, you know, where's all this? Nobody ever grows by staying and doing the same thing they've been doing.
No.
You know, and if you want to know who were the bad guys were in all this, it was the first original taking away Texas and Oklahoma. That's
dude, we've been doing realignment for how long?
But that's how
if things don't change, why is it still the Big Eight?
Right, but exactly. And that's the way.
And it's the Big Ten, but yet there's, you know, the logo is a 16.
Right. I mean, and the Pac-12, nobody did any. You know who destroyed the Pac-12? The Big Ten. They took their two mainstays away, right. USC and UCLA. That's what it is. And I, you know what? I feel sorry for some of these guys. I really do, because I get that. There are parts of me in my life that I want to keep some of the old things that we used to do, but I lose all the time. It just doesn't happen. And I'm okay with that.
And
before I worried about it and fretted about it, and it almost killed me. So I'm like, I'm okay with it.
I will say this about the mindset, it seems to be, of the Big 12 person, if you will, right now is the jaded nature of, no, don't you come back to me, Pac-12, because we offered to go together and stay together, and you looked down your nose and poo-pooed us, and now you need us, and now we're best friends. That's
the part of it that If it doesn't happen, I'm okay with, because that
I'm not
was
looking
the
for the demise of the Pac-12. No. I'm looking for the Big 12
to stay relevant
and I don't care if they're number three. I don't care if they're the little brother or the little brother.
All I want to be is one of
relevant.
The three.
I want to watch basketball in the Big 12.
Because there's only going to be three power conferences,
yes.
And I'm not listening to all the East Side. I love my East Side. I'm listening to them.
East Side?
The East Coasters. I'm not listening to them say there's only going to be two.
No.
You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. All right. Hall of Fame game coming on. We're going to do a deep dive on the NFL. Come on. Happy Thursday, everybody. Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We're bringing your sports your way every day. You can check us out on Twitter at @ScottBrower_13, @SteenOnSports, @HappyHour_SS, and @1700TheChamp. Facebook's at 1700TheChamp. Website 1700TheChamp.com. You can go to the website, click on the live microphone, listen to the show live. You can get podcasts I upload into Audio Boom, but you can get it wherever you get your podcast. Thursday, NFL Hall of Fame game, Jets and Browns. We're getting ready to talk some NFL. Next segment is going to be B Styles. He's got a lot to talk about today as well. So looking forward to that.
Excited for that.
All right. So let's hit some football stuff and see where we are at.
Are you worried about that, or are we just going straight into football?
Let's go. Well, what do we have? We have one left. No, let's go straight into football.
Cool. All right.
And we'll give B Styles all his minutes, and then we'll give everybody a shout out at the end, a hug and a kiss at the end.
Okay, so with our deep dive, let's talk about who, I guess, the odds makers, if you will, who they think are going to be the powerhouses. Okay. So I will start at the top, and this is going to be win totals.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. So there are three teams at the top that they say will have the win total that you can figure out if you're going to be more or less. Starts at 11.5 wins for this upcoming NFL season, okay, regular season.
And those three teams are?
Number one, Kansas City Chiefs.
11.5.
Obviously. Okay. All right. You've got the Cincinnati Bengals.
11.5.
11.5. And you've got the Philadelphia Eagles also at 11.5.
11.5.
So where do you go?
I'll start
with those three. Where do you go? Kansas City Chiefs, higher or lower than 11.5 wins this season, sir?
I think they're going to win 12, so I'm going to go over.
You're going over on that.
Cincinnati, what do you think?
I also am going over.
Okay.
Cincinnati Bengals, 11.5.
I think they're going to win 11, so I think they're going to be under.
I'm going under on them. Philadelphia Eagles are 11.5. I am going over on them because it is the NFC.
I probably would agree with that as well.
All right, is our Super Bowl matchup there again out of those three?
Here's the thing. I don't know if the Philadelphia Eagles will make it to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
Because they have to make up for both coordinators. That's not easy.
Well, I'll tell you this. When you look at the odds that the boys who make the money on this, the Super Bowl odds, Kansas City Chiefs plus 600, the Cincinnati Bengals plus 1,000, Philadelphia Eagles plus 750. So the odds makers are saying,
yep,
Super Bowl.
It's tough. If you went back and you also have to take into consideration who their head coach is.
Mm-hmm.
But even losing their coordinator, because Kansas City lost Eric Bieniemy, I think it's a big deal. I don't think anybody else out there thinks it's a big deal. I do, but I think he's going to help the Washington Commanders like crazy.
Right.
But losing both your offensive and defensive coordinator after almost winning a Super Bowl, it's got to be hard. It's hard to replace people like that. The Buffalo Bills losing Brian Daboll looked lost at times last year and didn't make it back as far as what they had before. So, interesting.
Well, do you know what I see when I see Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles? All these numbers right now have to do with Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes.
And that, Joe Burrow. Those three.
Is Joe Burrow okay with his little incident?
Oh, I think so.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, but to me, it really shows that when it comes to Super Bowl odds, already before we've taken a snap really into the season, it is the Chiefs and the Eagles again. But right. that's people going, are you a Jalen Hurts fan or are you a Patrick Mahomes fan?
Well, and I would be a Patrick Mahomes fan. I was a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles defense.
Yeah.
And Jalen Hurts is an amazing game manager and a talented football player.
All right. Next round is 10.5 wins is what we're looking at here. And it jumps to the San Francisco 49ers.
And that is one of the reasons why I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. That would be my number one reason that they would not, is the San Francisco
49ers. So 10.5 win with the San Francisco 49ers, you are going north of that. You said there's going to be more. I too, also am going with the over. I think the 49ers are going to...
The Cardinals are horrible. The Rams are horrible.
Right.
and I don't know how good the Seahawks are going to be in the second year.
Here's the one that
it's a lot of wins in that in your division.
Okay, Buffalo Bills, they have it 10.5. Not a chance.
I'm going under.
I'm going under on that one all day long.
I am too. I think they've. I don't think their offense is the same, and I
think the division is going to be tough.
And I do too. And I'm not a huge Sean McDermott fan. I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Right. So those two at 10.5. Next one is, this is a fun one for me because this is my dark horse that I'm riding this year. The Jacksonville Jaguars are at a 10 win total.
I'm going over.
I'm going completely over on that.
Because I don't like Tennessee. I don't like Indianapolis. And
well,
I don't
yeah,
like
look
Houston.
At, again,
that's
look at,
six
look,
wins.
At, look at their division. Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That's 6 wins.
Exactly.
I'll even give Tennessee one of them. They're 5-1 in their own. Yeah, I'm...
So now it gets weird for...
Hold on just a second.
Yes.
Just to give one back. Remember this name, folks, unless he gets hurt. Calvin Ridley is going to have a massive year.
All right.
He's ticked off at the world because he got kicked out for a year for doing fantasy football. He's unhappy, and he is one of the best route runners I've ever seen in my life. And he's got Trevor Lawrence as his quarterback, and I'd be really, really happy.
I put a line by it and a star and put Calvin Ridley. So we are good. You are duly noted.
Next one.
Next, actually, now we get into the belly of the beast here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 teams are all at a win total by odds makers at 9.5.
Okay, who's our first one?
Start with the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
Over or under 9.5 on the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, my gosh. I'm wondering what
I'm going over.
16, that means 9. I think they're 9-7. I'm going to go under.
Okay, I went over on that one. I think Dallas actually is going to play a little bit better than they're supposed to. And then
if they get 12 wins, then Dak Prescott is in the MVP conversation.
He's in the ring of honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Baltimore Ravens are next.
At 9.
At 9.5 win total. Over or under?
I'm going to go over.
You're
not, because you don't trust their new offensive coordinator.
I don't. I think they're revamping too much. So, yes, I am taking the under on the Ravens. Okay, here comes one that I think people will be very picking sides on this one. At a 9.5 game win total, the newly put together super team of the New York Jets, over or under?
9.5, under.
Under. I go under as well.
I'm with you. I don't like
trust
their offensive
line. I don't trust the line, and he goes on his butt more than once.
40-year-old quarterback. Woo! With and guess what? I think Robert Saleh may be one of the nicest guys in the world. Don't know how good a coach he is.
Well, he's going to find out how good of a coach he is when you've got that big of a personality.
Yep.
In your locker room, because that can go one of two ways. This one is,
are you telling me that your Miami Dolphins aren't 9.5?
We're not there yet. There's a lot of them at 9.5.
Okay.
The next one that they've got on the list here, this is an absolute slam dunk. Put your house payment on this one. At 9.5 win total, above or under the Detroit Lions. I am going north of that all day long.
I am. So you're going
over. I'm going over with a star and a slam dunk.
I'm going over as well because I think they have they definitely have the best talent in that division. I mean, it's not even close,
right.
I don't think. I agree. I'm in.
Okay. This one gets hard.
Okay.
Because quarterback, everyone says, pretty good. You were the first one to admit that their coaching staff is L.A. Chargers, yeah. 9.5. I'm going under because we've already got the Chiefs going over. I'm going under on the Chargers.
I am too. I do not trust him any further than I could pick him up.
I'm hoping the Chargers have an 8-win season is what I'm hoping for them. But, yeah, I don't know if I see it or not. Now we get to the 9.5 win Miami Dolphins with their jiu-jitsu-trained quarterback who knows how to fall. 9.5 wins over or under Miami Dolphins. Go Steen.
Oh, my. I'm going to go under.
Okay. You're just doing that because I went opposite of you on your Baltimore Ravens.
No,
going over. I think they at least 11 wins.
If you tell me that Tua plays 12 games,
really?
I would go over.
If I could you know what? Yes. Interest rates are going to go down. Everything's going to be fine. And Tua will play the entire season.
If it was B's and T's, golf would be really more exciting. I get you. I understand.
Exactly. If ifs and buts were, never mind. Yep. All right. New Orleans Saints. Yes. 9.5. Over under.
Under.
Why? Why so quick? What don't you trust in the Saints organization?
They don't have a good quarterback, and they have a defensive coordinator for a head coach. That's just something I just don't believe in.
That's your two strikes right out of shooting.
Yep. I can't expect them to be that far over 500.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to bring the info out of you. I am 100% on the same page as you. I am going under on the 9.5 win total for the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
Now, this one is intriguing. The Cleveland Browns. We have the Cleveland Browns at 9.5 wins. They are supposed to be, as you tell me, they got a lot of talent. They're really good. All these parts. I mean,
can I cheat on this one?
No.
Seriously? I just want to know what the Pittsburgh Steelers are. Is that really cheating? I just want to know what.
Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are next in line.
At 9.5.
At 9.
At 9. Okay, so if I would take, I'm taking an over on the Steelers. And I'm, oh my gosh. Do you think they can tie, that Cleveland could tie and I could say even?
I think Cleveland can get 10 wins. I'm going over.
I agree with that.
I'm not sold on Kenny Pickett. I'm sorry. I'm going with the under on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
What did you go with?
I went over on the Steelers and I went over on the Bengals because
okay.
I think that is by far the best division, but I just have this really weird feeling that Joe Burrow is not going to play every game this year.
I agree with that.
And if Joe Burrow isn't playing, the Cincinnati Bengals aren't very good.
No, I'm fully aware of that. Fully aware of that. At a 9 win total, over under Seattle Seahawks. I know you're a big fan of Pete Carroll.
Geno Smith. How many?
Nine.
I'm under.
I am under as well on that one. Minnesota Vikings at 8.5.
I'm over.
So am I.
I
probably shouldn't be, but they do have too much talent.
They're talented.
They're not going to win as many games last year from behind. What was it? 12, 13 wins that they came from behind to it. But I see them not a 9 win as a possibility to get them to it.
They still have Justin Jefferson. They still have they're solid.
Okay.
I don't like their coaching staff either. I mean, that's why they're not a 12 win team because I don't like their like their coaching staff.
Man, we're really getting into the you can go either way on these. Atlanta Falcons 8.5 wins. That they're even giving them that because it's their division because their division's up in the air. I'm sorry. I got to go under still.
How many?
8.5.
I'm going to go over because there's nobody. I mean, Tampa Bay is going to be lucky if they win a game. And I think Carolina is going to surprise some people. So somebody's got to win. If they would have traded for somebody and had a quarterback, the Atlanta Falcons have got a lot of talent.
Well, didn't.
I mean, they're using Desmond Ridder.
All right. Yeah, that's true. All right. Next one. This one should be a good one because they've done a lot of things. With coaching, Denver Broncos 8.5.
Over.
What is your? You think Sean Payton can actually?
Sean Payton is that good? It's going to be.
He's going to get.
They're not going to go fourth down on their own 30-yard line. They're not going to try to kick a 65-yard field goal. He's worth 5-6 wins, and that's a talented roster. I don't care what anybody says. You can say what you want about Russell Wilson. Sean Payton's never had a quarterback play bad.
Well, I'm over as well. I'm just trying to get it out of you, but I mean,
because I don't trust the Chargers and I don't trust the Raiders. So four wins.
Right. That exactly. I think
Now we don't. The bad part is we don't have schedules for everybody because some of these teams have ridiculous schedules.
Right. But this is the way you get your NFL juices flowing by going of what the people that make the money off of setting these as of right now, this is what we're looking at. So Chicago Bears are 7.5 again with that NFC North division.
I'm over
on the Bears
because I like Justin Fields and I like what they've done. Now, my only issue with that is I would really be over if I had any inkling what Jordan Love's going to be. That's the kicker, right? Because
Jordan Love could be pretty, because that's the exact.
Are they the same?
7.5 for Chicago Bears, 7.5 for the Green Bay Packers. So you're going over on the Bears, under on the Packers. Or are you going over?
No, I think I'm going to go under on the Packers. And just because I don't, and that would be a great surprise for Packer fans out there, you know. Charlie being one of them.
Well, it's, yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal. If he plays well, nobody knows what he's
going
to do.
Well, and see, that on that point right there, that's why I'm going under on the Chicago Bears, because I don't think they fixed everything they needed to for Justin Fields.
Man, he's exciting,
though. He is exciting.
It's going to be fun to watch.
I think enough of the smoke is cleared in the locker room in Green Bay. I'm going to go over on Green Bay.
I don't think that's a – he's at least going to throw to Watson and Romeo Doubs. Is that what the other wide receiver?
Right.
He's at least going to throw to him. He's not going to be angry at them. Angry Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Carolina Panthers, 7.5.
Eight wins. Eight. How many games they play? 16?
No, 17.
17.
18-week season, 17 games.
17 games. Wow. I think they can be 9-8. Yeah. I really do. I'm going to go over. What was it again?
7.5. I went under.
Okay.
All right. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ooh, okay. We still got more to go.
We got more to go. We got another segment.
Well, we got
at the
big ones out of the way.
All right. We got B-Styles coming up next. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. B-Styles will finish up on the NFL, and that will do it for us this week. We'll be right back. Happy Thursday, everybody. Once again, you're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700, The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, and at Happy Hour underscore SS. We have NFL football on the radio tonight. Jets Browns Hall of Fame game. Check it out. You want to do Heritage really quick?
Sure. You always love doing that.
Okay,
so
you hit
all right, Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality health centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout central Iowa. Heritage is future focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide a first line of defense in proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health focused innovation and technology, provide peace of mind, and protecting our future by being certified partners in science proven microbial control to provide advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebldg.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services.
Coming up right now is Mr. Brendan Styles. He's at TheB Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. You got the Cubs are on a roll right now, and you just mentioned it with football. I know it's like getting breadcrumbs with the NFL preseason, but it's something at least. And you know you're going to have the Hard Knocks having the Jets. There's going to be some content from this tonight that they'll have in that first episode. So I guess there's that.
You would have loved our show yesterday, B. We always have on Wednesdays, we have Randy Wayhofer, who's the assistant general manager, VP of the Iowa Cubs, which is their affiliate. Mm-hmm. We also had Bruce Miles on, who's just writing a book called The Chicago Cubs, A Curated History of the Northsiders, the Franchise.
He's a beat writer.
He was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought about you.
I know who Bruce is. I haven't met him, but I definitely know who he is and have followed his work. But it's one of those things where, like, even though they're in third place right now in the NL Central, you just consider they're only, I think, two or three games back now, just given what they've been doing to the Reds the last couple of nights. And I've mentioned it before with the run differential. They're the only team in that division that has a positive run differential, and it's significantly better than both Cincinnati and Milwaukee. So I feel like, yeah, their schedule's tough, and it's going to be tough for them this week with the Braves coming into Wrigley. But I think they have a very real shot of at the very least winning the NL Central. Now, as far as like October is concerned, I don't know they would be able to do much of anything just because of both Atlanta and LA. But you know, these next couple months, you might as well see what you got here. I was definitely happy to see it. They didn't end up selling pieces off in just because of their situation. And I think a lot of it has to do with guys starting to gel. And you know, they added Jaime Candelario, who's actually in the system originally. It was an iCub years ago. Adding him to the lineup, I think that definitely helps. And it's just a matter of the pitching being there for him. And if it is, I think they got a real shot.
Isn't it fun to watch relevant Cubs baseball again? That was my big thing. It's
oh yeah,
it's something to do again as a Cubs fan. And I've got stuff that says Cubs baseball in October. I'm ready to wear it again.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. Major League baseball is better if the Chicago Cubs are good.
Yep.
Right, and especially when you consider it was just 2 years ago they basically sold off everything there with trading Anthony Rizzo, trading Chris Bryant, trading Javier Baez, and you know, it's turned around a little bit quicker than expected, and that's, as you guys are saying, it's definitely a good thing, not just for them, but obviously for the sport.
And all three of those guys you just mentioned, man, I think they'd rather be back with the Chicago Cubs because they are not having fun outside of Chicago Cubland.
I got to ask you, what is going on? Like, what are the Yankees doing to Rizzo?
Because
I'm hearing that he's just now going on the IL with concussion symptoms, and this is from something that happened around Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm embarrassed. I'm as embarrassed as you can be of a billion-dollar organization. I'm there right now. Okay, so we just, right before you came on, we used a segment and we were talking about the NFL because win totals came out. Your win total for your Chicago Bears are 7.5. Where are you at?
Wow, that's right on the money, I think. I think they're probably somewhere between a 7 or 8 win team. I kind of look at it like this with them. If you take away the 6 games in the division against the Packers, Lions, and Vikings, it, at least to me right now, seems kind of cut and dry as far as which games they'll win and which games they'll lose. And when I did this exercise in my head, I came up with 6-5. For those, this is assuming that, like, you don't have all hell breaking loose like you did a year ago. And if they get to that point outside of the division where they could sit there with a winning record, then it really comes down to how they are able to do against those teams like Green Bay, who they play week one, like Detroit, like Minnesota. And that's going to end up being the difference. And especially in that division where it feels like it's wide open now, it really comes down to how you do against your foes in the division. Because Detroit, you would expect to be on the rise, but again, they're still the Lions. You would think the Packers aren't going to be as good, but the schedule is such that, you know, they could, and their roster is such that they could still be decent. I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think that they'll still be decent. And then Minnesota, you have to think will regress some, maybe not to the extent of like a complete flip of last year, but at least in the sense where they're not winning 13 games and 11 of them are by one score. So really to me, as far as the Bears being able to hit the over on that 7.5, it's really going to boil down to how do they fare against the teams that they play twice a year.
Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. So the Bears were 7.5. The Lions are 9.5. The Packers are 7.5. And the Vikings are 8.5. Who do they have wrong? Yeah. Who do they have right?
It's hard to say that they I could see the Vikings maybe being over 8.5. I think 9 or 10 wins with them. But Detroit's probably the same. I might go under on Green Bay, but I wouldn't be surprised if they won 7 or 8 games. I wouldn't be surprised if they had a similar record with the Bears. I think those totals that you just gave kind of reflects what I was just saying about the division basically being wide open and how it's going to come down to who does well when they go head-to-head. Because, like, that could end up being the difference between, say, like a Detroit only getting to 8 or 9 wins like they had last year and, you know, wonder if they're a wild card team or not versus clearly winning the division. Because I think 10 wins, you mentioned Detroit being 9.5. I think 10 wins is going to for sure win the NFC North this year.
And that's I kind of agree with you. I think they're going to beat up on each other, like you just said. I can see that. The three best teams that at least Las Vegas thinks is the Bengals at 11.5, the Kansas City Chiefs at 11.5, and the Philadelphia Eagles at 11.5. If you had to bet one to win more and bet one to win less, where are you going?
I would take the Chiefs to win more. And I know that sounds crazy in a sense because they are the defense, but I think it kind of goes both ways just in the sense of they are the defending Super Bowl champions. And it's one of those things where I don't feel like their team is much different from what it was last year. And you know, if anything, I would say the Chargers are slightly worse. The Raiders are not going to be that good. And you look at Denver, yes, they brought in Sean Payton, but I just based off everything right now, it's hard to say how successful that's going to end up being. I guess if there was one that I would go below on, it's tough with those three teams, but I guess I would say Cincinnati just because of the division they're in, because I think Baltimore could be right there, especially if Lamar stays healthy. I think the Steelers have potential to be good this year, and even the Browns, you know. The whole thing with Deshaun Watson aside, they have a pretty solid roster there in Cleveland. It's not going to be reflected tonight, obviously, in the Hall of Fame game, but they're the kind of team that if they were able to win 8 or 9 games, especially with Kevin Stefanski having already proven that he could take them to the playoffs before, I think that that's a division that's up for grabs, but in a sense of any one of those teams could easily win 10 or 11 games and end up being the team that wins it.
Scott and I are both pretty high on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Agree or disagree?
I would agree because to me, it comes down to two things. One, Trevor Lawrence and him having another year now in Doug Peterson's system and, you know, slowly becoming that guy that everyone thought he would be when he came out of Clemson. But the other thing is, look at their schedule. I mean, it's not the easiest schedule by any stretch of the imagination, but their toughest road game is maybe Pittsburgh or New Orleans because they technically play the Bills on the road, but that game's in London. And then you look at their home schedule, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals, the 49ers, all those teams have to go to Jacksonville. And that's on top of being in a fairly easy division. So I could actually see it being something where the Jaguars could potentially be, you know, at least a 2 seed, maybe even a team that gets home field in the AFC, just from the sheer fact that pretty much all of their difficult games are either in Jacksonville or that Bills game is in London, and they don't have to really play in a true road environment until potentially the playoffs.
Wow. That is, maybe we didn't go that deep, but man, I don't feel so bad.
But no, right? I mean, they've got them at a 10. Their win loss is at a 10. We both had them at a massive over on that.
I would agree with that as well. Because honestly, I don't think their division's that great. Like Tennessee, yes, they got DeAndre Hopkins, but they were also looking to trade Derrick Henry at one point.
Right.
And who knows
they
what the quarterback situation is going to be. Yeah, but they also just drafted Will Levis, and this is after drafting Malik Willis a year ago. And then you look at Houston, they have a rookie quarterback, and they've been terrible the last few years, and a rookie head coach at that. And then the Colts, obviously, it's crazy just everything that's been going on there earlier this week with Jim Irsay and Jonathan Taylor, but that's a situation that Anthony Richardson, like, his ceiling's high, but, boy, I really don't know what to make just yet, just because he showed glimpses at Florida, but it wasn't ever really consistent.
Right.
And I just wonder if that's going to translate into the NFL.
We got about 4 minutes. And once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles, DB Stiles on Twitter. The sports betting by college athletes in the state of Iowa, a bigger deal than Scott and I are kind of right in the middle, but a big deal or not a big deal?
I would probably be in the middle as well, because like in the grand scheme of things, you could say that, yes, this is probably something that's going on other campuses besides in Iowa City and in Ames, but the stories itself and what the athletes that are involved have allegedly done, that's definitely more than just a non-story, especially in the case of Hunter Deckers. And I just got to say this. I read that statement that was released by that law firm the other night.
Yeah.
How do they get away with releasing that?
I don't know. Like,
that almost read like something that you would hear Lionel Hutz say on The Simpsons. Like, it blew me away. They basically were like, yeah, he's innocent. But then he's like, but then they go on to say, yeah, but you know, college students do this all the time or whatever. And then they basically were saying, yeah, but you know, if he did this, there's nothing wrong with the fact that he used it through his parents, which I'm pretty sure like DraftKings and FanDuel and all those sites definitely say, yeah, you shouldn't be sharing accounts with anybody. Like there's a lot going on there. And I don't know what to think other than if I were Hunter Deckers, I might consider getting, you know, a different law firm to represent me just based off of what was said.
We got about 2 minutes and I wanted to ask you this. Beth Getz started her AD run, you know, kind of kicking the tires and seeing if that's what she wants to do, if people want her to do it. I think she's extremely talented. When you look at over her, if she gets that job over the next 3 to 4 years, of the four major sports, so women's, men's basketball,
right,
football, baseball,
wrestling. Oh, yeah.
How many coaching changes do you think she's going to have to hire for if she gets to keep that job?
I think there's going to be at least one. And, you know, it remains to be seen when that time comes. And I don't know if I've mentioned to you before, I don't know if it would end up being Fran McCaffrey within the next few years or if it ends up being Kirk Ferentz, if he does get to a point where it feels like he wants to retire. But I definitely think that there's going to be one on the horizon. And you would think by that point in time that Iowa would have a definitive answer as far as whether or not she is going to be the permanent AD. I think it's kind of silly that they put the interim tag on her.
I do too.
At this point, because it almost seems like if you think that she's qualified enough, you might as well have her go through the formal process. And then if she meets those standards, then you might as well give it to her just based off of what she's already shown that she could do just in the last year of being there as an associate to Gary Barta.
And those people out there that say in her resume isn't very good, man, you're not looking at the same resume I'm looking at. Now, she may not have some of the years in as being the head athletic director, but what she has done has been pretty amazing.
Oh, absolutely. I think back to the fact that she was just up here in Minnesota and, you know, handling that whole mess that was left by Norwood Teague and just how she had to handle that. And she's had the experience, as you mentioned before, being at Ball State. She's been the head honcho, so she knows what it takes to oversee an entire athletic department as that main person in charge. And I think that she's more than capable of doing it. And it's just a matter of, okay, at what point do they remove that interim tag from her and make her permanent?
And that'll be the exciting part. B, we appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on early, my friend. We will talk to you next week. Yep.
Sounds good, and we'll probably get some clarity on this realignment here by next week as well.
Absolutely. That's what we thought we'd talk to you when we had a little bit more clarity. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, babe.
Sounds good.
You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3 and 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. It's great having B on. Great doing this with you. We got one more segment.
One more.
We got NFL Wind still up. Coming up. Happy Thursday, this last segment on this Thursday. Last segment of the week. Have an outing tomorrow. We'll be back in here next week.
Where are you golfing?
Waveland.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Not
Wakanda.
Not Wakanda. Waveland.
There you go.
Waveland. You are listening to us on 101.3, 1700, the Champ Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13, at Happy Hour underscore SS, and at 1700 the Champ. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. The website 1700thechamp.com. Hall of Fame football game tonight, Jets Browns. Pretty cool. A Miami Dolphin getting into the Hall of Fame. Zach Thomas, right?
Did you see the footage?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Jimmy Johnson.
Awesome.
He was coming back from the gym, walked up to the loft of his place, and had in his entire family and everything like that, and he barely made it up the stairs. Zach and
crying.
Just bawling his eyes out.
Loved it.
That was awesome.
Loved it. I thought about you when I was watching that. So that's exciting tonight. The Twins and Diamondbacks are Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Twins, Tigers, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So we want to thank Brendan Stiles for coming in. It's always great to talk to B. He's just a mile a minute. So, okay.
So we have 10 teams left. We need to do this quickly because we're at the bottom rung.
I have some teams that I still think got some wins in them. So let's go.
All right. So at 7.5, we have New York Giants. Are they going to be the team they were last year or not?
I'm taking the over.
You're taking the over on the New York Giants? Yep. I am as well. New England Patriots are at 7.5. I am taking the under on that.
It's a tough division now.
It's a tough division. I'm not the relationship with what Mac Jones, not Mac Jones. It is Mac Jones.
It is Mac Jones.
And
Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick, sorry. Yep.
And you got Brady Zappi, and it's still there. And what he did last year was horrific.
Seven wins would be good for them. 7.5 is the total, so I go under. Tennessee Titans, 7.5.
I'm under in that all day. I just don't like them. I'm sorry.
I don't believe in them right now, so I'm going to go under on the 7.5 as well.
I think Malik Willis I think they're actually going to trade Malik Willis. I think they're going to have Will Levis is going to be their quarterback because I am not a big Ryan Tannehill fan. And I'm not a Derrick Henry fan either. Right. You're not going to win a championship with a running back like that.
Last one at 7.5 is the Las Vegas Raiders.
No way. I have under on that.
Under on that one as well.
Plus, I don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo either, but I don't trust the Raiders either.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 remaining teams at 6.5.
Okay, I'm going to surprise. Okay, give me your first one.
In Indianapolis Colts, 6.5. I say, because these are the ones that get hard. Right. I say over on the Colts.
I like their coach.
I do too.
I'm going to go over as well.
Washington Commanders.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm going over there. They have more talent. They just need Sam Howell to play well. I'm going to go over.
And the dark cloud is gone.
Yes.
With ownership. I as well went over on that one. Los Angeles Rams.
They have to have Matthew Stafford
6.5.
Play. I don't trust that.
I don't think
Cooper Kupp just went out with whatever.
Exactly. I would hope for 6 wins, and that's still going to be the under. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's a head scratcher at 6.5.
No way. No way in the world.
I too went under on that.
Okay, here's a really funny thing. Getting back to the Rams just really quick. If they're under 6.5, Sean McVay stay there and coach, or does he jump to TV?
He jumps to TV.
I think he's going to be so good at TV.
He is. Well, the money's going to be pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Houston Texans, last one's at 6.5 win total.
I'm buying. I think they're going to win 7 games. I really do.
We're down there. I say yeah. Now here, this is the million-dollar one, the last one, and you know who it is. And the quarterback is my favorite guy in the NFL, right?
No, and he's not going to play, so.
Arizona Cardinals.
They're not going to win 2 games.
Are at 4.5 win total.
I'm under.
It's the NFL. They're professionals. They can't stumble their way into 5 wins.
No, because they don't want to be at 5 wins. They want to be at 2 wins because they want to draft a quarterback. And that's a really damn good quarterback coming out. It's Caleb Williams, man. That's
so you're going under on the Arizona Cardinals?
Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's not playing.
All right. I'm under as well.
At least he's not playing for them.
Yeah. So out of any of these, I think we both have a lead pipe cinch lock, if you will, if you know what I mean. I go with the Jacksonville Jaguars at an over-under of 10, and we went over, and I will go over all day long on those boys. I think they are going to be phenomenal this year.
I would, too. Some crazy thought processes. Cincinnati Bengals fall back a little bit. I could see the Pittsburgh Steelers going 10 and 11 wins.
I think the Detroit Lions at 9.5 is an easy one to take an over on that one. I think the Lions are going to be a pretty darn good team in a conference that is – or excuse me, in a division that – that is very questionable.
And I think the Baltimore Ravens are a 13-win team with Todd Monken.
Really?
But that's a really tough division. That's the toughest one to try to get wins out of.
They're at 9.5. Yep. I took the under. Yes, Lamar Jackson is massively talented, but when they said the phrase, they're going to redo the entire offense with a new coordinator, and is he – is he good with I mean, that's not a lot of time, man. I mean, I know he's a professional.
Wasn't
good at what he does.
Wasn't much of an offensive coordination going on before. Right. So
here's a ball running.
My other one would be if you could guarantee me that Tua will play 14 games, I think they win 12 of those 14. That's how good they are when he's on
guarantee
the field.
You.
That he's not going to play 14
games?
I'm
not guaranteeing you, but I have a very good feeling he's going to play the entire season.
If he plays the entire season, that team has...
And the only reason I would even think to say that is because of Mike McDaniels, the coach. Yeah. With the coaching staff, they know that he is very good when he is upright. So they're going to do everything in their power to keep him upright. And if they address the fact that he didn't know how to fall correctly...
If you could choose right now, would you take Brock Purdy or Tua?
Brock Purdy.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't either.
Sorry. But
you're talking about Kyle Shanahan, who's one of the brightest offensive minds, and he's just like, he's the perfect quarterback for my system.
Right.
What he does well. He gets the ball. He makes decisions.
No, and where did Mike McDaniel come from?
Right. And that's
the same system.
And that's what Tua has to do. And if it's not there, either fall down or throw the ball into the ground. Just right. Don't get hit.
Right. I mean, it's you are not big enough, young man, to be a scrambling quarterback. You are not built like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes or Ben Roethlisberger was.
And Patrick Mahomes runs out of bounds a majority.
He is very elusive. I will say that.
Yeah, a lot of times he goes out. There's some fun stuff. Listen, if the L.A. Chargers – 4 days before the season fired their head coach, I would put them well over 9.5 wins. That's how much I love that football team. He is not a good football coach. I feel bad because I'm not a good football coach either, no. But I've seen plays and I've seen things he's done, and he's not a good football coach.
To me, if they get 8 wins, they can check a success box because, I don't see 9-10 wins out of these guys at all.
And here's my thing, and maybe not now, but Patrick Mahomes not having Andy Reid and not having Alex Smith for that first year and then going ahead and getting the starting job, Patrick Mahomes would be no different than anybody else. Having that there and having that system, and I get it was Andy Reid. This is what I like about Eric Bieniemy. Whenever he came to the sidelines, he wasn't talking to Andy Reid. He was sitting on the bench talking to Eric Bieniemy. Mm-hmm. Who takes that role? Who takes that role to go, Patrick, you know better. That throw you just made, I don't mind you make it, but you know better.
Dial down on who took over the role.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think.
So you're saying there's an outside chance maybe they took too much away?
I just want to see what it is. And
all the magic is not there?
If Sam Howell turns out to be really good this year and Eric Bieniemy is the one in his ear, then I'm saying that Eric Bieniemy had more to do with than what people in Kansas City wanted to give him credit for.
Well, we are Chiefs affiliate. It'd be fun to talk to somebody with some insight, wouldn't it?
I would love to do that as well. And I think that Sean McDermott in Buffalo, I think he's over his skis. I just don't think he's that good a coach. And you have Ken Dorsey, who is a hothead as their offensive coordinator, right. And I don't think that works with Josh Allen.
No, I think Josh Allen, the flash and the shooting star of Josh Allen may have passed what's going to happen in Buffalo.
And Joe Burrow's cockiness. I would rather have Joe Burrow act like Trevor Lawrence, and I'm glad Trevor Lawrence doesn't act like Joe Burrow. Yes. Even though I think
I
think it's cool.
I think 100% his personality, his swagger, the way he carries himself, everything about Trevor Lawrence is he's a leader on the field and he's a leader
but
in the
does
locker room
it
and he's
quietly and he doesn't have to smoke a cigar after a game and he doesn't have to do
any
of that stuff.
Some of that is okay here and there, but it just
it gets old sometimes.
I'm not purchasing a Trevor Lawrence jersey.
Who in the hell am I become a grandpa for? I have no reason to be a grandpa. I have no grandkids yet. That's what I feel like. I feel like an old geezer saying, I just don't like the way that he plays.
Thank you for another beautiful week, my friend.
It was awesome. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us on 101.3, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We thank you for coming in. We're coming back next week, so you're going to see us
then.
A lot of stuff going on.